Welcome to the holiday edition of Vox Populi, the show by atheists for atheists. Twice a month, our team answers questions on various issues relevant to the atheist life. In this holiday edition, we gave them four questions related to Christmas and the New Year, and perhaps to see if they follow the popular stereotype that atheists are hostile to the holiday season. Our first question is, do you think that atheism and science will increase in importance in the future, or lose ground against superstition? Have the best days of atheism passed us, or are they ahead?
As information becomes more and more abundant, logic and facts will always prevail against nonsense like supernaturalism and collectivism. So the uncontrolled internet is one of the most important tools we have, since even science is controlled by the state. So in the West, this trend will continue and you are free to be an atheist, but in countries where there is no separation between church and state, the process of enlightenment is being held back considerably, because anti-theistic ideas aren't allowed, let alone confess your atheism.
Because of globalization, the dividing force that theism is simply becomes impossible. You can't say, kill the unbeliever, when those are your neighbors, your teachers, and your child's friends. Atheism is waking up to reality. This can happen to people anywhere. Religion, however, has to be taught because it isn't part of reality. So, religion might seem like a pesky bug to get rid of, but atheism and science are here to stay. Forever.
At the risk of oversimplifying human desires, with respect to religion, it seems that all are born from a wellspring of ignorance, pushed ahead by two primal drives, fear and hope, both of which stem from an inability to face reality. Thus, knowledge of reality and courage to face it are inversely correlated with religious belief. Where we know and understand what lies before us, we have no reason to abandon reason. Science is constantly trying to learn about reality, giving people hope to live in it and peace to live free from ignorance of it. With this in mind, I can confidently affirm, despite what authors such as Oxford University professor Alistair McGrath would have us believe, that atheism is not declining. The twilight of atheism is not upon us. Likewise, science is not going anywhere. If anything, it is going everywhere. If visionaries like Ray Kurzweil and Bill Gates are correct, one can expect to see scientific advances accelerating at the speed of thought. The truth is that religion has no place in the modern world and is undergoing a slow, painful death. I do not wish to see people suffer, so I implore those who adhere to a religion to scrutinize it and, finding fault, abandon it.
Although I think the fates of atheism and science are not interdependent, it's my conviction that both have a strong future in the years ahead. Now, granted, there still exist a great many social stigmas against atheism, but just think that 50 years ago, atheism was considered traitorous due to its adoption by communist governments. While some living ex-presidents may still feel that atheists do not deserve American citizenship, that sentiment is no longer shared by the majority of the population. I think that, by and large, the legal system has been generally supportive of atheism, especially as it relates to the separation of church and state, at least outside of the Supreme Court. Politically, I would consider it to be an important goal to have uncloseted atheist elected officials in the national government. We've gained political representation in the form of a secular lobbyist, and I'm excited to see what she's able to accomplish. Science, as usual, will continue to make new discoveries. How those discoveries are implemented, and whether they'll benefit humanity, remains to be seen, but there'll be a lot of fascinating stuff, especially in the field of biology. As much as the 20th century was the century of physics, the 21st will be the century of biology. We began the new millennium by sequencing the human genome, and that was a profound accomplishment. But just 5 years later, sequencing a new genome is relatively blasé, and it seems like more organisms get added to the list all the time. Pretty soon, it's going to be hard to find a relevant species that hasn't been sequenced. Biomedically, there have been some huge advances in recent years. AIDS is no longer a death sentence, and we're right on the cusp of figuring out how to completely reverse an infection. Heart disease is, by and large, a manageable condition thanks to statin drugs, and thousands of scientists, such as myself, are working on ways to reverse the aspects of the disease that don't depend on cholesterol level. A cancer is really the last major biomedical threat, and it'll probably remain so for a while because each type has slight to major variations. But cell biologists are hard at work cracking the cancer code, and it's only a matter of time before cancer is no more threatening than a bad cold.
I think it'd be worthwhile to look at a very brief history of religions, starting as far back as possible. So, over about 12,000 years ago, when Earth was coming out of its last glacial period, there were hunter-gatherer societies, and that's all there were. And the people of these societies had thousands and thousands of gods. Every single person, every animal, every plant and rock and heavenly body had its own god, dictating exactly what it would do. When agricultural societies formed about 10,000 years ago, people kept many of these gods. They kept gods responsible for fertility of people and crops. They kept gods to bring rain, and they kept gods to rid them of bad weather, and so on. Many societies even adopted practices of ritual animal slaughter to appease some of these gods. But note that agricultural technology at this point increased, the body of scientific knowledge increased, and the number of gods decreased. Later societies, such as ancient Greece, circa 1000 BC, again kept some gods and threw away others they no longer needed. Of course, we all know about the gods of Greek mythology, but note, there weren't quite so many. And also note the technological successes of the Greeks. Finally, in modern times, we have but 5 major religions, and most of them are completely monotheistic. We have a hell of a lot more technology than any other known time period in the history of, well, the entire known universe. It's extremely important to note that in this rough outline of human history, each time religion is nullified, society and technology and science fare better. Now, you might be inclined to say, well, that's just coincidence, and that's great, maybe it is. But you know, personally, I don't buy coincidence.
What do you think of the war on Christmas waged in the American media? Do you think the holidays are secular or religious? Why?
I think President Bush wins the award for wartime president to deal with the most simultaneous wars. Now, it's not an official award, but if I could make it one, he would get. Let's see, why is that? He's got the war in America, and that was, of course, launched by bin Laden. We've got our own war in Iraq. We've got the, albeit unofficial, war against Islam. We've got our war against terrorism, the war on drugs, and don't forget the liberal media's war against Bush. Now, I recall President Bush in one of his early in office speeches where he said that he was a wartime president. Now, war hawk or war hack, as he may be, these wars, if you can call them that, are simply ludicrous. But the one war that takes the cake out of all the rest is gotta be the war on Christmas. Now, those of you who read Al Franken's book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them, may remember the chapter title about Bill O'Reilly. Lying, splotchy bully. Indeed, this is Bill O'Reilly's modus operandi to a T. Who the hell is even launching this war, Bill? O'Reilly and the other Fox jackasses, news team, would have you think it's the secular liberals or the progressive left-wing media, but we all know that the real culprit is right behind Bill O'Reilly's splotchy face. His brain has deteriorated to the point where it's little more than just bits of Swiss cheese, and his psychopathy is finally winning out. I'm sorry, Bill, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the fact is that there is no war on Christmas. You're just insane. Seriously, though, the war on Christmas should be launched by us atheists, and I'll explain why in my next response.
There is no war on Christmas, but I wish there were. I wish more than a handful of stores would stop pandering to the pitiful complaints and sorry excuses of the fundies in the U.S., Pardon me when I say that Target was an easy target. However, I understand that even Bill O'Reilly took a moment to get with the program. Even America's staunchest conservative news reporters initially had no idea that they were expected to report from the front lines of this invisible battle. Who's doing this? It isn't Rove. Who is it? It isn't Murdoch. Is it Bush himself? I've learned long ago not to give Bush very much credit for anything that takes even the smallest thought. So, who is behind this war on Christmas? I don't have any idea, but the whole thing is silly, and certainly not newsworthy. Regarding the question of whether the holidays are secular or religious, I guess it depends on your interpretation about what is meant by the question. Because from a historical perspective, they are overwhelmingly secular celebrations of seasonal change, while from a cultural perspective, they are overwhelmingly religious celebrations of ideas stolen from secular celebrations. That's a tough one.
The War on Christmas is nothing more than the frustrated brain of fundamentalist Christianity, upset that the religious aspects of the holiday are being marginalized away from some imaginary, idyllic, golden age of Christian dominance. I get at least a couple Christmas cards every year from more than average religious family members who write little notes inside about, quote, remembering to celebrate the birth of Christ, end quote. Not that I begrudge them for it. It's just a passive-aggressive way for the Ozzy and Harriet wannabes to feel like they're doing their part. The fact that the American media, or more specifically Fox News and their darling, Bill O'Reilly, picks up on this every year is nothing more simple than the fact that it's an easy banner to wave, an easy sell to his target audience, and it keeps his viewers watching. I mean, do I really think Bill O'Reilly cares that much about the word Christmas? The man himself advertises his ornaments on the Fox website as perfect for your, quote, holiday tree, end quote. Let's be frank here. Christianity is a religion that incorporates martyrdom as one of its cardinal aspects, if not one of its cardinal virtues. Nothing makes a Christian happier than feeling like the world is out to get him. And nothing is an easier target than Christmas.
Well, that's just kill the infidels talk. And they don't even know that Christmas isn't Christian. They just assume it is, so they want others to do as they do. People should obviously be free to do whatever they want. Anyone caught trying to force other people to do stuff should be deeply ashamed. And doing it on national television? Oh my God.
In his important book on mass movements, entitled The True Believer, Eric Hoffer asserted that such movements, quote, can rise and spread without belief in a God, but never without belief in a devil. By the way, every free thinker and every other kind of thinker should read Hoffer's book. Hoffer was suggesting that large-scale movements, of which we would have to consider Christianity an example, do not necessarily have to be religious. They can in fact be quite secular, from communist movements to environmental or social reform movements, but they need to have an enemy. Movements only seem to form, and even more so to thrive, when they feel they are fighting, even more so when they feel they're on the defensive, under attack. The exquisite power of being in the middle of the good fight is exaggerated even more when the movement has a philosophy of fundamental, even cosmic struggle, an all-out war of good versus evil, like Christianity has. So, it's no wonder that Christianity thinks a war is being waged against it. Christianity needs to think there is a war being waged against it, and the media always feeds on a controversial story, probably to no one's betterment. Christians are always on the lookout for an enemy, and when they don't find one, it's just as good to invent one. But I hate to inform you, dear Christians, that no one is attacking, let alone banning, your precious little holiday. However, some of us are ignoring it, and that galls them as much as attacking it outright. To them, it's the same thing as attacking it outright. For, the only thing worse to a God than being disobeyed is being ignored. I'm not even quite sure where this year's crisis came from. I have a feeling that Christians, since they have little else to do, God not showing up at any of his events, sit around thinking of ways that they can feel offended. We non-Christians and non-theists must profoundly understand that Christians and theists need to feel offended and threatened for their belief to have any vivacity at all. If all was well in the world, what would they do? The kind of apocalyptic thinking that purrs under the hood of Christianity requires and creates a constant state of agitation and foreboding, and they will find every opportunity and rally against every perceived slight as a result. So what's really going on here? In a way, it's just the threat of the day, and there will always be another, until their eagerly hoped-for apocalypse really comes. But more, it's an arrogant and self-centered rearguard action against the cultural and religious pluralism of America. Listen, sore Christians, nobody, not even we mean atheists, want to take your holiday from you. Why, if you were celebrating it quietly in your homes and churches, where we don't go, we wouldn't even know that you were doing it. We have no interest in your holiday. Try to understand this. We have no more interest in your holiday than you have in Ramadan or Buddha's Tooth Day. And Muslims and Jews and Hindus and Buddhists have no more interest in your holiday than you have in theirs either. Please try to imagine this, as challenging as it is. You're a Christian, and you live in a majority Muslim country. That country goes to elaborate lengths to commemorate their Muslim holidays. You could not care less about those holidays, but you're deluged continuously with Ramadan carols and Ramadan decorations and greetings of Happy Ramadan. You wouldn't like it. In fact, you would feel like something not only foreign but false was being forced on you. Got it? That's how the rest of us non-Christians feel about Christmas. The issue is not whether it is Christmas or not. According to the calendar of religious holidays, it is. However, lots of other religions exist, and they all have their own calendar of holidays, too. If you're interested, do a Google search on Hinduism holidays, or Islam holidays, or Wicca holidays, and look at how many there are. Almost every day is somebody's holiday. You'll probably respond, but this is a Christian country. Is that because most people in America are Christians? But most people in America are also white. Are you suggesting that it would be okay to commemorate white-only holidays? And why do you feel the need to so completely monopolize the public space of our society with your religion? You have your homes, your churches, your TV shows, and much more. Why do you need every government building, every store, every street corner? Is your religion that hungry, or is it that insecure? For you see, the problem with religion in the public square is that there's only one public square, and many, many religions. Which brings us to the real point. Christianity may be the majority religion in the country, but it is not the only religion in the country. If our country is based on freedom, inclusion, and tolerance, then all religions are equal politically and socially. No religion gets to monopolize public spaces. We should celebrate Yom Kippur, Ramadan, Diwali, and Samhain with equal gusto and respect. Are you ready to sing Samhain carols and wish people a happy Samhain? On a recent CBS Sunday morning show, Ben Stein, that ignorant Republican shill, complained about the explosive atheism in America manifested in the attack on Christmas. It was a funny thing to hear coming from a non-Christian himself, but this has nothing to do with atheism. If there were no atheists in America, this would still be a multi-religious society, and the First Amendment would still apply. In fact, the true issue is that we cannot acknowledge only one religion's stuff in a society of many religions. This is not about atheism versus Christianity, but about all of the American religions besides Christianity. Case in point, a Muslim family in Tampa, Florida, asked the school district recently to put one of their holidays, on the school calendar. The result was shouting and even threats from the Christian majority. But in multicultural, multi-religious America, Muslim holidays deserve equal respect with all other holidays. Instead, they got pushed back and silenced. Now there is your war against holidays. Christians in America have enjoyed an unchallenged domination for a long time. That domination is ending, and it is American that it should end. Enjoy your holidays. Go nuts with them, but don't shove them on the rest of us.
Do you participate in the holidays? Do you ignore them? Do you create your own? As an atheist, what do you find objectionable about the holidays, if anything?
As an atheist, I don't find any reason not to participate in the holiday season. Well, okay, to be fair, I don't go to Christmas Eve services at church anymore, but that's just personal taste. I wouldn't have a problem going if asked. Of course, I'd rather spend the time with my family. But isn't that the real meaning of the holiday? It's the perennial question, And far and away the most common answer is, in fact, spending time with family. Although, of course, for the South Park kids, getting presents is acceptable, especially because they're coming at it from the perspective of children. But let's use Hollywood as our social barometer. Now, going back to Miracle on 34th Street, what was it that Susan Walker wanted so badly for Christmas? She wanted a family. Now, in the more recent The Santa Claus, the central aspect of Scott Calvin's character is his relationship with his son. And in the sequel, he's charged with finding a new wife. Now, and finally, in what may possibly be the best Christmas movie ever made, which is obviously Ernest Saves Christmas, the runaway character Harmony Starr decides to go home to her family after reuniting Santa Claus with his magic sack of toys. Now, I'm sure Christmas may trace its origins to astrotheology and social inversion festivals, but the core of Christmas today is family. And even my grandfather, who's arguably the most religious man I know, says that his favorite Christmas song is "I'll Be Home for Christmas" because of the longing he felt for his family while in the army during World War II. It's a completely human desire, that of wanting to be around those who love us. Now, aside from the anti-family aspect of Christianity, I think it's a concept that all people can accept, regardless of their religious convictions.
As the name implies, the holidays are indeed holy days, and as an atheist, I can't see much use for them. In fact, I see a few reasons why we shouldn't practice them. First of all, it legitimizes religion. Just as paying your taxes legitimizes the government, following religious ceremony legitimizes that religion. But our goal, as outspoken atheists, should not be to legitimize religion. It should be to expose religion for the evil cult following that it really is. To all you atheists out there listening, I ask a question. How can we convince people that religion is wrong if every December 25th we break out the Christmas trees and exchange Christmas gifts under the mistletoe, etc., etc.? Every time we do, the religious among us have an opportunity, and indeed many use this opportunity vigorously, to point out that we atheists really are religious, we're just in the closet, or we all use religion, we're just too stubborn and grouchy to admit it. What do I find objectionable about the holidays? Well, to be quite frank, just about everything. Sure, it's nice to have some time off from work and school, but there's a difference between time off for relaxation and time off for religion. Why should our moral positions change for 1 week out of the year? Why should we take things and destroy lives 51 weeks out of the year and exchange gifts and help others for only one? The holidays, as I see it, are little more than an excuse used by religions to cover up the disgusting moral positions taken by their followers. In the end, while I don't participate in the holidays, I certainly don't mind the time off from school.
As an atheist, I obviously don't get much out of the religious aspects of popular religious holidays like Christmas and Easter, but I think it is possible to celebrate with those who do. I say this because no matter what our religious friends and family members might say they believe, and no matter what rituals they practice, it has been my experience at least that the value of spending time with those you love, especially in our busy world, beats everything, even dogma. This isn't true all the time, but most of the time you can count on it. People forget their differences. They drink beer, watch football, gossip, or whatever suits their fancies, whatever bonds them. Celebrations, like holidays, are basically bonding rituals where you get to drink. I participate in most holidays, if for no other reason than I can sleep late, which incidentally is reason enough not to be religious. For me, a holiday is a practical matter. Usually 24 hours, which can be devoted to me time, usually including friends, loved ones, and a feast or two, followed by music or a movie, with coffee to follow, to keep me awake so I can enjoy the festivities just a little bit longer. Festivities include an hour or so of actual me time. But, you know, you're never alone on a holiday, even if your only company is your neighbor's poor taste in music. Holidays are about being with each other.
Well, I don't really care about the holiday itself, but some family traditions can be nice. As an atheist, I find it objectionable that Christians make a big deal about Christmas, going to church and all, when they don't do it any other time. I think it's an especially important Christmas tradition. As an individualist, I find it objectionable that people spend a great deal of emotional energy on a concept they don't understand or know the history of. And I'm not just talking about theists. But festivities should be enjoyed by all means if it brings you pleasure. Just don't get a lot of expectations, or else it'll always be disappointing. A reasonable problem about religious holidays is that it makes lip-servicing theists remember they are theists.
The changing of the year warrant a celebration. Why do you think people care? Do you agree with them?
I can see, and have made one myself, arguments against celebrating holidays. There are actually a number of solid, well-thought-out reasons to consider. Logically, celebrating implies something to celebrate about, which implies that you agree with what is being celebrated. Like when people celebrate Easter, if you don't believe in what it represents, then it's no different from being told to pray in school or, if you dislike your government, to recite the pledge every morning. Sometimes celebrations are anything but, and the pressures of groupthink can be cause for mourning. But sometimes celebrations can be interpreted differently. A new year, for example, means a chance to accomplish goals and a second chance to correct past mistakes. It's a chance to sort priorities, to meet new people, visit new places, plan new adventures. A new year, quite simply, is another year to be alive. We only have one life, and a new year signifies being fortunate enough to continue it, to improve it. It's natural to celebrate a new year. Why not? Even if it meant nothing on a factual level, even if it was a completely cultural invention, for no good reason at all, there would still be a good reason to celebrate. We celebrate because we can. We appreciate our lives. And that's the basic point.
It feels like the end of a significant period and the start of a new one. Obviously, the chosen date is arbitrary, so in that way it's pretty nutty that people all over the world go crazy about it. Like someone on the net mentioned, we don't celebrate the changing of a digit in the number of the week or month. People care because it's a tradition, and they're conditioned to care. They've done so from time immemorial. If everybody else feels like they haven't accomplished certain things by then, and promise themselves that they will do so from then on, then so will you. It's kind of like a confession booth.
Our team was Robert Dawson, David Eller, Edward Grieve, Niels van der Linden, and Zachary Moore. An archive of this feature is available on hellboundalley.com/voxpopuli. Email us at ally@hellboundalley.com if you have comments or suggestions for new questions. Thank you everyone for their great work, and we'll be back in 2 weeks for more insightful answers. This was Vox Populi, the voices of atheism. Happy New Year!